Like, there's not even a W.
Hey, I can see Frankie.
Can we hear her?
Hello.
Right, Frankie, where are you just now?
I'm in Manuel Antonio in Costa Rica.
Perfect. Oh, I can hear shit.
Are they
in the background?
Fucking monkeys and birds and shit?
Yeah.
I was saying to Shane earlier, Frankie, it's like it's a pure roller coaster looking at your Instagram just now because you're like, oh, look at that monkey, that's amazing. Oh, Frankie's stuck there forever. Oh, but look, there's a massive lizard. Oh, she's never getting back. So I hope you get back.
Yeah, Frankie, this might go out before you get back or after you get back. Either way, it'll be funny.
The following podcast contains three mates talking shit over some beers. As you can imagine, the language can get a wee bit hairy from time to time. So, get involved. Grab a beer and join us for Drunk Therapy, the podcast.
It's always something that I've been trying to carry through this mental period. Is there's always someone worse off than you and you should have perspective. Would you agree with that, guys?
Yeah, you're always dying, James. So I think there's always someone, like, most of your problems are in your head. But I think, yeah, there's always someone worse off than.
Thanks, mate. Thanks. That was just a wee sly insult there. Loved that.
Very offensive start to the show.
Someone worse off than us, just to make us feel better this time, is one of our very good friends, Frankie, is been stuck in, is it Puerto Rico? Not Puerto Rico, Costa Rica. Costa Rica, yeah. For the past few weeks because of the situation with COVID-19 coronavirus. And she kind of get a flight back. So we thought we'd bring her on, find out what's happening and cheer ourselves up knowing that we are safe in the humble waters of the UK.
How good is it being in Scotland right now?
It's just amazing.
Like the dream in our own country.
I'm the fucking bleak cunty one of the three of us, and even I'm sitting listening to you two right now going, fucking Jesus, man.
No one wants us to be sincere. Frankie, how are you? Genuinely... You were on our Instagram live the other day and I said to you, that's shite that you're stuck over there. How's life been in a world of uncertainty with COVID-19?
I mean, I'm actually all right today, but it's been an absolute nightmare, to be honest. Like, I just came to Costa Rica on a wee holiday, thought I'd do my first solo backpacking trip. You can hear the birds in the background right now. But yeah, it just hasn't really quite gone to plan because as soon as I got here, stuff started to close. I did manage to get a good kind of 5 days worth of normality, but then since then it's just been all up in the air. And then I've had loads of people telling me, get a flight home. And my flight was booked for Thursday the 26th, so tomorrow. But because everybody was stressing me out and being they might close borders like they did in Peru and all this stuff, I thought, right, I better try and change my flight to something sooner. So I ended up calling up BA because that's who I'm traveling with. And I asked them to make it Sunday past. And they were like, aye, that's no bother. We'll change it for free, which is really nice of them. And the girl on the phone was really helpful. And she said, yeah, that's you all booked. So you're stopping over in Miami. And I'm like, yep, that's fine. And then literally 20 minutes later, we find out that we're not even able to go through Miami because we were in Europe in the past 14 days. So we're not even able to lay over. So honestly, I was a mess. I was panicking. I was like, what are we going to do? And it takes you an hour to get through to BA anyway, and you can only change flights on the phone. So we kept calling them. It kept hanging up on us, and it was just an absolute nightmare. And I say us, it's because I've made a pal over here called Isaac, and he's in the same situation. He had the same flight. We both changed it. We're both idiots. Anyway, we managed to get through to them finally, but then that Thursday flight was now sold out. So they were like, right, well, we can put you on the Saturday one. So I don't actually go home till this Saturday, but it's still really uncertain because they could turn around and say the flight's cancelled at any minute, and that's really the worrying part. And also what made it worse was a few days ago I called BA just to double check, and be like, look, can you send me the email through and all that just to make sure I'm on this Saturday flight? And the boy on the phone was like, you're not on that flight. And I was like, I was like, what? Are you having a laugh? And he was like, no, you're on the 22nd flight going through Miami. I was like, yeah, hon, but we changed that again. And he was like, no, I've got it here in records. You can only change it once and all this. And honestly, I broke down. I was crying, ugly crying. It was a mess. And I ended up calling this boy that I'm seeing. And he just is not ready for that kind of meltdown. But I had it anyway on the phone to him. And it was just a nightmare. So I was kind of freaking out. And then Isaac was like, look, we're going to call them back. We're going to be chill. It'll be fine. So we called them back. And I was just like, you know, hi, just wanted to make sure that, you know, the flight's all like fine and, you know, the flight on the 28th, can you just send me all the details soon? And she's like, yeah, no problem. And then, like, she asked me all my details, you know, I gave her the booking reference and she was like, yep, the 28th, I'll send you the email. So she gave me the email, so thank God. And since then I've had like a wee confirmation, like, we're ready for your flight and all this. So it should be going ahead on the 28th. But it's been a bloody nightmare.
It sounds like it's been easy.
No, it's really not. I've had so many meltdowns. I even called my ex.
Fuck. Rookie error, man.
Yeah. Honestly, it was just, it's been...
Is your ex a pilot by any chance?
No, he's a bloody... He's not even fucking useful.
Well.
Like most people, Frankie, because I seen your Instagram stories and I was like, because I'm no bragging, right? But I seen this coming fucking 2 months ago. I said the UK isn't ready for this. You guys know this because I started buying tins about 6 weeks ago, and no like panic buying. I was just going, I'm going to subtly just keep filling my cupboard up with tins and see what happens. And I knew this was going to end up in a mess. But when I seen your Instagram stories a few weeks ago, I was like, do you know what, man? There's worse places to be stuck if this is full worldwide lockdown, because it looks like fucking paradise. Is there not a wee bit of that in that?
I mean, a lot of people have been saying to me, like, why are you complaining? It's paradise. And to be fair, the hostel that I've been at for the past 10 days, I never planned on being here so long, but, you know, the national parks have all shut, the beaches have shut. Like, there's not really much I can do apart from stay here. But it's, like, such a nice hostel. There's 3 swimming pools. It's got, like, this lovely kind of rooftop like sitting area which I'm on right now. You can see the sea, you can see the jungle. It is stunning, but it's just hard to really appreciate it when you're like, shit, am I going to actually get home? How long am I going to be here? You know what I mean? It's just, it's been like very, very anxious time, but I think, you know, I'm doing all right. And to be fair, like tomorrow I'm just going to leave this place, I'm going to the airport, and I'm actually going to try and get on the Thursday flight. Like, I'm going to say, like, look, are there any cancellations? Because there might be, you never know. Yeah. And if not, I'll just stick around near the airport. At least I'm near there. And that'll kind of make me feel a bit more secure. But fuck me. See, when I get on that flight, I'm drinking so much whiskey. Don't even care. Get pissed.
Get arrested in Miami.
Oh, my God. I know.
Nah, how are the funds looking?
The funds?
Yeah, like, I don't want to be rude asking, but, like, because you weren't prepared to be staying for this time, were you? Or is it, like,
it's cheaper
because there's fuck all to do?
No, genuinely, it's fine. Like, I did plan on staying this long. It was only a 2-week holiday, so it's not actually that bad. But it's just kind of been... Yeah, the funds are actually better because I've not been able to do all the fun stuff, like go paragliding or go, you know, ziplining through the forest or... drinking. I've not really been drinking because I don't want to lower my immune system, and that's kind of a worry, especially when you're sharing a room with like 8 other people or whatever. Luckily now the hostel's kind of emptied out, so there's just like a few of us kind of stranded here. Just kind of, we all know each other really well now, but it's been a journey. A shame that my Costa Rica kind of experience has been tainted by this, but it's such a lovely place, like amazing.
Have they got cases of over there, Frankie, or are they just not taking any risks? They do have it as well.
They do, but they've been like better than the UK, I'd say, because like as soon as they had about 50 cases, that was it. Right, okay, nightclubs and bars shut, 50% capacity for restaurants, and then, you know, they were meant to close the national parks Monday past, but then they decided just to randomly do it on Friday. And now we're up to, I think it's 180-odd cases, but we have had a few recoveries. 2 people have died who have been like the age of 80, with underlying health issues. So, you know, it's kind of the usual story, but it's it is like more kind of, it's all concentrated in the main city, San Jose. But at the minute I'm in Manuel Antonio and there's no cases here really. Well, no, there's not. So yeah, I'm kind of safe. My friend's been calling it a corona retreat, which we're on.
Just head to the woods, man. Take a few animals with you that you know can gather fruit quite well. And isolate yourself, build a wee commune. Oh, there's monkeys over there, isn't there?
Oh yeah, there's been loads of monkeys. They've been like running across the pool, like the wall beside the pool every day at like certain times. Like I know exactly when the animals all come out. I'm gonna have to write a bloody guidebook for anyone else who stays here.
just feel it's important to highlight there that the first animal Shane shouted out was squirrels in amongst all of that.
I don't know what else is gathering fucking nuts. Did you ever have a thought go through your head where you go, actually, fuck it, I'm staying here for the long haul? Like, did you ever think that might be worst case scenario, you're stuck there for months and months?
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I've kind of planned it if I do get stuck. I mean, well, of course, I'm going to write a very angry letter to the British government and be like, take us home. Because that's what they're doing for Germany. The German government are, like, just getting them all on government flights for free. It's amazing. Same with the Swiss, but nope, Britain can't do that. But anyway, if I do
an angry letter to the British government. Dear Mr. Boris, you fucking cunt.
Basically, that's what I'm going to do. I'll try and get Nicola Sturgeon on my side as well. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I've decided if I do have to stay, there's these folk that I've met. They've went to this pure mad eco lodge, like proper remote. And you've got to get a boat to get there, so I might join them if all goes tits up.
Frankie, is your work okay? Like, is you work in BBC? Are they okay with you taking as much time as needs until you get back?
Well, I mean, this is my holiday time anyway, so it's not eating into my actual work time yet. But my boss has been, like, you know, worried for me, not for, like, the work. She's just kind of been messaging me on Facebook because I can't access my emails over here. And she's just kind of been like, you know, are you all right? And stuff like that. Like, don't worry. Nobody's really been, like, saying, get back and work, you know. And it's pretty chill right now anyway because I'm a digital journalist. So I think a lot of my colleagues are just working from home and it's going to be kind of reduced output. So I don't think that's too big a deal. And they're super nice. So I'm not too worried about that. And I know we'd work something out. But I just kind of want to be home and have my comforts rather than stuck here.
The thing that really stood out when you, as soon as you mentioned Eco Lodge and the fact that you're in Costa Rica and the world seems to be ending, Frankie, you're in like the opening 50 minutes of a zombie movie right now. This is how any half-decent zombie movie starts. Nice holiday, bit of backpacking, some uncertainty going on around you. Get tool up, befriend those monkeys now, and get them learning how to work fucking knives.
Before they take over the world, eh?
see if there's any Costa Rican squirrels with guns out there.
I've seen some sloths actually, but they wouldn't be much help. But
nah, I want to see a sloth.
Just go to Costa Rica, mate, during a pandemic. It's funny that you say zombie movie. I was just thinking when you talked about that ecological commune, I was just thinking, fuck, then that's the reason I asked you about work. I was just saying, fuck off work as long as they're understanding. And then, have you ever seen the Leonardo DiCaprio film The Beach with Tilda Swinton? That's exactly what I'm envisioning. It's just this little happy commune, that, although by the end of the film it gets a bit mental, and you can just live like blissfully for a couple of months. Man, I would do that. I'd explore that possibility. Just check out for the world and then see what's left on the other side.
Yeah. The moral of the story is basically don't come home. It's shite here at the moment. No, there are no monkeys. There are no squirrels with guns. There's no sunshine and everyone's just sitting there fucking binging Netflix. Stay in Costa Rica.
Oh, but I've already, like, the animals here are wild. Like, I've already, like, convinced myself I've got rabies. Like, honestly, it's been... So basically, right.
Everyone's worrying about COVID-19 and you're going rabies.
I know. Like, so there's this wee dog that comes into the hostel and it's so cute. It's a wee puppy and its mum works at the hostel and she, like the other day she's like, oh, do you want to hold it? Honestly, like, it gets worse. So she gives me it and I'm like, oh, cute. And then it scratches me and like kind of nibbles at my finger a wee bit. And I'm like, sitting there shitting it, like, fuck, fucking sweating. She's gone away. I've got to hold this fucking dog. And she comes back and takes it and I'm just like freaking out. So I'm like Googling rabies, obviously, and I'm pure asking all these questions like, oh, has it been like vaccines and all this, and she's looking at me like I'm nuts. So anyway, I ended up Googling doctors. There's a doctor's about 10-minute bus ride away. Hop on the bus, go to the doctors. I call them beforehand, let them know I'm coming.
That's amazing.
I get there and then they're like speaking to me in Spanish, so I'm like, right, okay, here we go. And
you can speak Spanish, can't you?
I can, so it was okay, and they did say my Spanish was quite good, so I was pretty pleased with that. But I was trying to explain to them the situation. And they were just kind of looking at me, they're like, yeah, fair enough, like, okay, well, we don't think you need a rabies jab, but I'll give you a jab anyway, just like an antihistamine in case you've had like some sort of allergic reaction. I was like, cool, how much is this going to cost? $120. I was like, well, I'm already fucking here. And I was already $80 for the consultation anyway, so I was like, what's an extra $50 fucking? So And then they were like, yeah, but you've got to get it on your arse. I was like, oh, great. And this Costa Rican guy injects my bloody arse, honestly. And I'm just like, I'm sitting there swearing in like Spanish, but it's like kind of different to hear. So he's laughing at himself and thinking it's hilarious. So then I leave and end up making pals with the homeless guy on the way home. And then I got here and then kind of started freaking out again. So naturally I call the doctors and he's like, tranquila, it's chill, don't worry. Gives me his WhatsApp, which is really cute. And he's like, you know, just maybe take this cream if you're getting worried about it. That should be fine. And then later on, he messages me, like, how did you get on? Are you okay?
Is he...
I was like, that is true service.
Is he trying to fire in?
I mean,
nah,
he
charges by the message.
It's like old fucking text system.
But it gets worse, right? So then, obviously, like, I've had this injection in my arse, and I'm like, okay, chill. And then, like, the next day, you know, I'm fine, whatever. But then I go to sleep that night and wake up at, like, 12 at night. And I'm like, my fucking arse is killing me, and so is my back. So I'm sitting messaging him at fucking 12 o'clock and I like, my bum hurts, like, is this normal? And he's like, aye, like, it's fine, like, don't worry. And he could tell he's getting bored with me by this point, so I just kind of leave it. But, so it's been eventful. I don't think I've got rabies. I have been keeping an eye on the dog, though. I added them on my Instagram so I can keep an eye and make sure the dog doesn't, like, randomly die. Because then it's got rabies.
You've really absorbed yourself into local culture.
I thought you meant the mum of the dog. Like, I was sitting there like, the mum works at the hostel. Like, they've trained the dogs really well. And I was like, they're prepared for the end of the world there, eh?
Nah, again, all I'm hearing is this zombie movie. So, Frankie, you're the one that's like, you're the one that halfway through, you're covering the scratch on your arm and you're telling everyone you're all right. And they think that everything's cool. But fucking little do they know. Oh, you're the one that's going to turn and fuck up the whole film for everyone. That's a good role to have, but in this... Costa Rican zombie movie that I'm currently writing.
So see, I wrote his name down and I know you phoned the guy that you're kind of seeing, but being stranded in Costa Rica during our pandemic seems like a perfect love story with Isaac.
Not at all. No, I mean, I love Isaac, he's a lovely guy, but no, I don't think so.
Oh, that's harsh, man. He's probably sitting there thinking,
etched on a podcast.
That's harsher than fucking you two at the start of this.
So no, it's an no for big Isaac.
No for Isaac, but I think he's kind of, you know, understands. Well, he's never mentioned it, but I haven't mentioned it. It's very platonic. It's always been that way since I met him 5 days ago. But
he's playing a long game here. He knows it's an apocalyptic fucking world. He doesn't need to jump in for the kill straight away.
No, this is game all along. Tried to get me to change the flight, so he knows it's going to fuck up. I know his game.
It's a very biblical name as well to restart the world, isn't it? Isaac.
Bless him, he's this English guy from, like, I can't even remember where he's from, man. It's near London.
You're definitely invested in this.
He's fucked in the long run. Don't go with Isaac. If he's going back to London, they're in a bad way just now.
Well, I bloody messaged my ex, so nah, but it's not like that with him either. It's just, I was just needing a bit of comfort, so I ended up calling him. And we're on the phone for like 5 hours, so that was quite nice, but...
Right, so what you?
By the way, is this going to get you in trouble? Like when you get home with your new, like, it's
no,
like,
no,
oh, Isaac and my ex and all the other monkeys that I've been texting and the doctor, like, he's going to be like, calm it down.
Well, Frankie, we'd only, and she did say no. I told them there just for anyone that didn't hear it. We were only planning on getting you on for about 15 minutes, but are you on Wi-Fi?
Yeah, Wi-Fi.
Well, stick around for the full chat then, because we've got other stuff that we're going to chat shite about. But if you feel comfortable, will you tell the story about that time in the hostel that you told that time you were in the studio here? Just for a laugh. So if you kick off the random shite that we might talk about for the rest of the episode.
Right, okay, let's do it.
Right, go for it then. Tell us that story.
Right, well, I was in Ibiza last summer and I'd actually just broke up with my ex literally the day before. So I was kind of needing to blow off a bit of steam. So I went to a hostel that first night on my own and... like met this guy, we went on a night out and it was great, had a brilliant time, came back to the hostel and I was pretty drunk and I was wearing a wee play suit, so I just couldn't be arsed like taking it off and going to the toilet. It's an effort. If you've ever worn a play suit, it's an effort. So I was like, right, I'm just gonna go straight to bed. So I went straight to bed and then in the middle of the night, like 3 in the morning, I get woken up by like the Spanish guy like kind of shouting at me and shining a torch literally in my face.
And you, can you say what he said in Spanish? Because you said that because you can speak Spanish.
Yeah. He said, ¿Por qué has meado en el suelo? And that means, why have you pissed on the floor? And I was like, what? Like, I was just so disorientated. So it was this Spanish guy shouting at me, and then the receptionist was standing there as well. And he was also giving, like, it all, ¿Por qué? ¿Por qué? And I was like, I fucking don't know, man. I couldn't really remember, but then it kind of came to me. I was like, shit. And I did have like a kind of vague memory of me getting up and just like perching on the edge of my bed and pissing. And I do kind of remember doing that. But, you know, when you're just like disorientated and sleeping, you can't really remember. But then, you know, lo and behold, I was wet. So I was like, oh, shit.
So did you piss through your playset, or did you in a room full of people take your playset off?
I took it off. Yeah, no, I took it off. I was wearing like, it was halfway on me now at this point, and I had my wee crop top on. So yeah, I kind of realised, yeah, this is legit. So I was just like, and they kept shouting at me, and I was like, look, why are you shouting? Like, just let's talk about this in reception. There are people sleeping, you know, fucking rich coming from me. But anyway, so we goes into the reception, and this Spanish guy, I don't know who the fuck he is. I think he was in my room. He's still going at it, like shouting at me. And I was just like, mate, it's too fucking early. And I started speaking in English. And he was like, no, you're speaking Spanish. You're in Spain and all this shit. Honestly, getting like really angry at me. I was like, fuck, okay, sorry. And then, you know, he just goes away. And it was after about a good 5 minutes of shouting at me. So he saunters off. And I was like, saying to the receptionist, what the fuck is that all about? And he was like, yeah, I don't actually know who that guy is. I'm like, what? So you just let this random dude shout at me? But anyway, so I was like to him, like, all right, okay, well, like, I am obviously very sorry. But they kept focusing on, like, why I did it. And I was like, look, I can't explain it. I was just fucking drunk. I'm in Ibiza, you know what I mean? But I was like, look, I will clean it up. He was like, yeah, that's fine. I was like, do you want me to pay anything? Like, you know, because I've pissed on the floor, obviously. And he was like, no, it's fine. Just clean it up. So he gives me, like, a wee... you know, what's it, bucket and mop. So I go into the room at 3 a.m. and try and navigate my way around the room, cleaning up my own piss.
Are people still sleeping at this point?
I mean, I fucking hope so. it's so embarrassing, man. I'm honestly hanging my head in shame at this point. So then I come back and the guy's like, you know, thank you very much. That sound, do you have Facebook? And I was like, you what? He was like, yeah, just... you know, think you seem nice, do you have Facebook? And I was like, mate, are you actually sliding in my DMs right now? Like, what the fuck? I just pissed on the floor. I stink. I mean, but he's, I don't know, like, that was that. I gave him my Facebook, but he never ended up getting in touch. He must have kind of realised in the morning, like, fuck that. But,
It might have been attractive to him, the fact that you could speak Spanish and you were just like, mate, I pissed in the floor, fuck it. Like, that level of confidence can be attractive to some people. Especially, he might have seen it all. He might have been into the piss thing. He might have been like, oh, she might piss on me if I get her drunk enough.
Oh, he might have been, but I'll never know, sadly. Yeah, he was an attractive man as well. And then also, there was this other guy in my hostel room the next day, like, also very attractive. And he was just, like, chatting to me in Spanish. He's from Argentina. And he goes, do you know who pissed on the floor last night? And I was like, for fuck's sake, I thought I was firing in, but this clearly isn't going to happen. So I was like, aye.
The English guy, that English guy that's just left.
Always English guy. Well, yeah.
What an emotional journey for anyone in that hostel, though, eh? Because you're like, you know, a nice looking young lady. Oh, she's taking her clothes off. What's going? Oh, no, she's pissing. Oh, and then there's like a kerfuffle and there's like 2 hours of debating and loud yelling. And then she comes in with a mop. Like, it's just a... what a fucking journey. They'll be telling this story on some podcast in Spanish going, oh my God, you'll never guess what happened.
Did you check out or did you stay?
Oh, I was going the next day, thank fuck. So yeah, I left and then my sister joined me and we actually got a hotel and there was no more pissing, so that was good.
You got any good hostel stories that you've not told, Danny, on the podcast?
Once in Rome, I get... pulled up from a snoring the morning after by a couple who were very loudly having sex in the bunk above me. So I was lying in my bed whilst they were having sex quite loudly for a hostel room, and I was like, well, that's quite noisy, but fair enough. And then in the morning they're like, mate, you need to watch your snoring, it was really loud. And I was like, you're so shagging.
Did you say that though, or did you just go, okay, right, sorry?
I think I made an implication that I heard other noises as well, but that was weird. They were English.
Maybe they couldn't finish because you were snoring, though. Maybe that's why they were annoyed.
I was awake during the whole fucking sexy act that was going on. Otherwise, I would have ruined it with my snoring, probably. But that was bizarre. That was because I'm very conscious of my snoring. And it's why I try and avoid staying in hostels now. But that was fucked up.
It's weird, man. Like, see, having interaction, sexual interaction in a hostel bed, like sometimes you get carried away. I remember doing it with an American girl from Albuquerque in Luxembourg, but I was very much aware that in the opposite bed from me, like, from the other side, was a Serbian guy called Serjan. I don't know if that was his name or we just dubbed him Serjan. And I was very conscious of that, but I couldn't stop myself. And I didn't speak to the guy like the next morning. I just got out of there very quickly when he was sleeping. Then when we were downstairs, we were moving to another side of the hostel the next day because there was more people coming. He came down bounding towards us and I thought, fuck, this guy's going to shout at me for being such a fucking dick. And he was just giving us our toiletries that we left behind. And I was like, thank fuck, man. So you can't help yourself sometimes, Danny. I think you're the one in the wrong there.
Well,
for sleeping?
Yeah. What are you going to say, Frankie?
What a bastard.
Well, I actually, fun fact, lost my virginity in a hostel room.
Back off.
Where?
Yeah.
Where?
So I was living actually in the hostel in Surfers Paradise. So it's actually not as bad as it sounds, but...
wasn't just after you pissed on it, was it?
No, there was this guy that was living at the hostel at the same time, and we started like dating, like in a relationship, and we kind of got a bit serious, and then he had the master key, so he took me to one of the private rooms, and that's where I lost my virginity, and it was fucking shite. Ooh. But it got better as the relationship went on, but
if you don't mind me asking, if it's not too personal, what was shite?
Oh God, right. There was just nothing beforehand. It was just bish, bash, bosh, done. And I was like, is that fucking it? Have I been fucking 19 years for that?
Like, so if you're a young person listening to that, foreplay is important.
Let me grab a pen, 2 seconds.
So if you're Danny listening to that, foreplay is important.
No.
Yeah, basically But he got the hang of it and he was actually like decent in the end, but it was just, not the greatest. But it was quite funny because like he used to live in a different part of the hostel. So after nights out, I would sometimes like be smashed and like he'd leave the window open. I'd crawl through and join him in his bed and stuff would happen, whatever. But then he shared a room with two other guys who also worked at the hostel. So one night I was smashed as normal, came in the window and, had sex, whatever. And in the morning, when my pal went to get up, he got up and looked over and my ex had all the covers like on his side and I was stark naked. But literally, my legs facing him, so my legs were like spread eagle, so you can imagine what you fucking saw. So that was embarrassing. And the other guy must have seen it as well, but he didn't mention it. But I've seen like my pal since, and he's like, yeah, I can't really get that image out of my head. I'm like, please get it out of your head, because that's so embarrassing.
That's up there. Shane,
yeah.
You must have a few from fucking going to Bali and stuff, or Southeast Asia.
I had a moment where I just remembered one when you were talking about sometimes the mood just takes you, because I remember it was me and this dude I'd met that night. We were like best buddies, and there were these two chicks that were traveling together, and they were from Canada, and we were literally like in a taxi, like banging, and it was just this weird thing where like if you were in anywhere else, and see this was in New Zealand as well. I went up to Wellington for a weekend, but I stayed in the hostel. And I just remember thinking, bro, if you were anywhere else, like, if you were at home, you were not getting the taxi and bang, that would not be an appropriate thing. I still don't think it's an appropriate thing, but it's just, it's being a part of a hostel, it's that fun, I reckon.
Was it describe your taxi, because obviously we've got the private hires over here and then the Black Hackney. Are you talking about an Uber-style taxi where it's just the guys right in the front seat?
Now, it was kind of like a maxi taxi, but it had lots of seats, like a van, but like, you know, the van one sometimes when there's lots, like eight or nine seats. Mm. It was like that. So I was in the back seat with this girl and the guy that I'd met, like, honestly, that night, but we were like the bestest of buds and forever. We will never forget each other, this moment we had. And he was with her best friend, and it was just, there were noises, and it was just like, fuck it, we're staying at a hostel, you're young once, that kind of shit. But normally hostels to me are like the worst, they're more of a shithole. Like, I went to Amsterdam and we stayed in one, and it honestly was like a prison. It was like there were fucking spiders all over the place. There was like, help me. I remember seeing help me scraped out of the paint on one of the bunk beds. It was just a real, like, what the fuck is it? Was this, and there was a one toilet to 40 people, which, once again, it's a sexy thing.
I love hostels. I think they're magical, mate. I think that's the sort of place that you can walk in and you'll just meet so many interesting, well-travelled, cultured people from all over the world and Americans. And it's just, you never know of the night or the journey of conversation. That sounded wanky, but I mean it. We'll take you. I would, even as a guy in his 30s, I would much rather stay in a hostel now for the cultural currency that will get out of that than staying in a nice hotel and then following a map, because you'll get to see all the sights, but you just get to fucking understand and connect with someone. And don't get me wrong, it's full of arseholes as well, and cunts farting and snoring and shiting all over the place or pissing on the flare. But that's a story, man. You're never going to get a story, or the cleaner came in and didn't get the towels changed, eh? I don't know. I like hostels more than anything else.
The closest thing I think you can ever, like, I'll ever get, and maybe any of us will ever get to being like Jay-Z rich, is when you get a hostel, but you get like one of the ones that has a bed to itself, so you've got a room to itself, and all of a sudden you're 19 times sexier to, like, especially if you're single. Everyone else in the hostel's like, this cunt has a bed to himself with his own door and his own toilet. Bang that person, because, like, you are all of a sudden, like, eligible bachelor number one. I got punched in the face and then fucked by a Welsh chick in a hostel as well. And that, you're right, there, that only happens in a hostel. You're not going to be staying in a hotel. And
he's told us that story.
Has he? Okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I've told this story, but it was just...
The Syria one.
Yeah, there's just something that's... There is that... If you're, you know, a lads weekend or just any kind of weekend, there is a certain kind of, fuck, I'm in a hostel, literally anything could happen right now. You know, like, that's not going to happen in a hotel. You're going to have a night or whatever, but you go on big sloppy hostel nights out and you go out with the locals, or you go out to places where, like, tour guides will take you. Like, I do love a hostel, but, yeah, it's hit or miss. Nah. It's either the best night of your life or a prison with help me scraped into a fucking into the walls.
Beep. Beyond the age of 25, I think you can safely say that magical is not the fucking word I would use for a hostel. After you're beyond 25, they're fucking horrible shitholes full of cunts. And
I get the impression that
hotels all the way.
Like an
ad for hostels. Mate, and then Danny comes in.
Fucking social arseholes that I just want to read a book and be ignored, and you cunts like James coming up to me, trying to talk to me. But,
it was only about 2 years ago we stayed in the hostel together.
Aye, in our own room.
Aye, to be fair. Yeah, it was. Yeah. But still, I would always advocate, if you've never had hostels or that experience, then try it out, man. And what you're saying under 25, I've travelled all across Europe, and there's been plenty of people over the age of 30, sometimes 40. I mean, they don't connect it completely with the
weirdos,
young people's
wrongins.
It does not. Listen, man, there's a large freaks. Community of older folk travelling for the, you know, the cultured aspect of it, not the party aspect of it, but you always meet interesting people. That's what I'm saying. I think that you meet more people, especially as a solo traveller doing the hostel thing, or with you and a couple of mates. I'm not saying, like, I would bounce up and fucking try and party hostel now that I'm 33. I'm just saying I'd still appreciate the conversation that you get out of a hostel rather than just the isolated hotel life.
By the way, Frankie, you are, while we've got you here, you are possibly the coolest person I've ever met. Like, even when you were telling that story just before about, you know, I lived in a hostel in Australia, and, like, you're a twin, you're a fucking DJ. You are currently in Costa Rica, like, hanging out with monkeys. Like, if you were to say, like, because everything I just said then makes you fucking cool. If you were to say, like, introduce yourself to people, how do you do it? Because, like, I imagine you probably just sound like a mad, like, look at me, I'm a cool cunt. But, like, genuinely, like, what's the highlight of your life so far?
God, that's a question. Highlight of my life, living in Madrid. 100%.
Fucking hell. See, even that, like, that's fucking cool as fuck.
I had to live in Madrid, to be fair. It was part of my degree, so it wasn't a choice, but it was amazing. So,
what was amazing about it?
Oh God, I loved the people. The language was just, it's so fun learning a language. Like, I always wanted to do it, so that was kind of on the bucket list. And the nights out were mad, and it's just great. Like, it's just such a nicer kind of way of life, especially when there's sun, which we don't ever see in Scotland. Yeah, it was just insane. I loved it, and my friends were great. I would definitely do it again.
And so, what did you study then? Have you
law and Spanish?
Law and was it to become a Spanish lawyer, or were you just, I'll study law, then I'll study Spanish, then I'll go and work at the BBC, which has nothing to do with any of that.
It was more like, you know, I wanted to do law because people said, you know, you're good at English, do law, and I was like, see what, it's an actually decent degree, so why not? And then I wanted a language, so they were doing, like, beginner Spanish. So I thought, great, I'll do that. But then, honestly, it was not beginner Spanish. I walked into that first class, and I was like, grazie. And they were like, no, no. Everybody was, like, GCSE level, and I was, like, literally the only Scottish person in that class. Everybody was, like, English for whatever reason. Only English people study at Edinburgh Uni. But anyway, so, yeah, it was quite difficult, to be honest. But I realised very quickly I didn't want to do law as a job. But I thought, well, it's a decent degree and I've got my Spanish, so why not?
It's a very rewarding thing that first time you can, like, speak more than one sentence in another language and they understand you.
It's great. Aye. Do you speak language? Buzz.
I can speak a tiny little bit of Spanish.
You're Catalan, though, aren't you?
Well, it's a mix of both, just based on being in Barcelona for 6 months. When I was in Cuba last year, I managed to explain to a woman that owned a little hostel type thing that the key was stuck in the safe, and I managed to do that in Spanish, and it was my proudest moment of speaking another language.
Can you guys
get it over and done with and just say a sentence to each other in Spanish?
No.
Well, why don't
that's
we attempt?
That's Spanish for no, Shane.
Oh, good. I wouldn't have known that.
Well, I mean, I'm quite interested to know what the word for safe is, because I know that key is cerradura, but what the fuck's a safe?
I used safe, but just in the literal thing, because it came up on, I don't use Duolingo, it's that Mosa Lingua one, and I want to say it was seguro.
Yep, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I just Googled.
Yeah.
And it was... I called it a caja, but...
La llave is in... like El Seguro, something like that, and she got it straight away, and I was like, fucking yes.
Yave is key.
Do you think
that's really good.
Just to ask a question that pretty much is obvious, the best form of learning is excuse me, that's coronavirus coming out of me, the best form of learning is immersion then? By being in the cities,
totally.
You're just totally exposed to it, and that, you know, it's sink or swim kind of thing.
Yeah, because you learn, like, the bonus swear words as well. So, like, but I think it's like fucking English. We have our own wee weird swear words in Scotland. So, like, chocho in Cat, or where I was like fanny. I was like calling somebody a fanny. But it's not recognised anywhere else other than that area. But I fucking love calling people. Yeah, I love seeing people like, aye, shut it, you chocho. Just sounds amazing.
And are you guys like enemies then? Because Barcelona, Real Madrid?
Yes. Frankie and I regularly fight, but we're just not allowed to tell anyone about it.
To be fair, I do think Madrid's a better city. That's just my personal opinion.
I've only been in Madrid for a day trip, so I can't judge both. But I fucking loved Barcelona. Like, I've said before in this podcast, and it kind of ties in with what you said. So the most important thing I've done in my life was that experience.
I mean, it is great. I think, though, the difference with Madrid and Barcelona is Barcelona's a lot more international. And,
yeah.
You know, it's a lot more touristy, a wee bit more dangerous, but not much. Like, there's a wee bit, there's a few more thieves, but I think it's just the fact that it's more touristy. Whereas Madrid, I wouldn't necessarily go there on a holiday, because I went to both on a holiday before I lived there in Madrid, and I was like, nah, Barcelona's better. But to live, 100% Madrid, just because you get, like, the real kind of Spanish culture there, and you go, like, half an hour outside the city, like, half an hour walking, I mean, and it's, like, you know, proper, like, Spanish, and it's just, oh, it's insane. Yeah. I love it. It does lack a beach, though. It would be a shame. It's a shame there's no beach, but whatever. You get by.
Barcelona beach is shite, though. Can we all agree on that?
No, yeah. I love that beach. I think that beach is class.
I don't, mate. Maybe I didn't experience it. Danny, the bit you showed us, that was normal beachy.
Aye, yeah, yeah.
I just didn't feel like there was aye, much it's... there. I felt like it was just sand thrown down for people to pretend there's a beach there.
In a big puddle of water that was called the sea.
Yeah, but like you can have a sea without a beach, you know.
Yeah, what? But I think Barcelona's got a deep, like, see, I got there, when I went there, it was cold and grim in Scotland, and it was probably about 18 degrees in Barcelona, but we were straight to the beach every day because it was like the sun was out. Fuck yes, this is awesome. Well, we did other stuff, but at the end of the day, at the beach having a beer, like, it's just fucking lovely to just be like, there's the ocean, I'm gonna drink beer and enjoy some sunshine.
Yep.
Remember when we could go to these places.
James, how does it feel being shy and not having any other languages under your belt?
Pourquoi?
I'm in the same boat.
Pourquoi?
Aye.
Yeah, do you know what, mate? It's, it's...
Mate, what you say to that is kayate, coño.
Aye, I would. What I would say is you only regret not learning a language when you're this old. Like, you know, Dad fucking... I had every advantage under the sun that is in the Western world, you know what I mean, privileged to learn French or Spanish in school. So I can't grumble. I think it's a hollow thing to grumble if you want to learn a language and you didn't. There was 6 years of school where I could have done that and I didn't. So it's shite that I didn't, but I can't.
Nah, but in your defence, though, in school, they teach you to pass the exam. They don't actually teach you the language.
I get like, that, but I could have been more inspired to... You know, yeah. Go on my own way, take the basics of what they've taught me and then do it. But hey, you know, some people don't have the advantages. Some of the people with the best languages in the world are the ones that were forced to, you know, move countries because of, you know, war or whatever, and they picked up all different... Is that an animal noise?
Probably, aye. There's so many animals.
That's the rabies kicking in.
She's just growling at us. Like,
I'm still low-key kind of nervous about it, so...
Danny,
What are the symptoms of rabies?
Foaming for the mouth.
To be fair, like, in humans, symptoms can take, like, months to, or up to years to even, like, show. But basically, if you've been bit by an animal that's got rabies, the animal will die within, like, 3 to 4 days. But usually, like, if it's alive and well by the 10th day, it's not had rabies in its saliva when it bit you, so you're up absolutely fine. So I'm keeping an eye on the Instagram. So in 10 days' time, if that dog's dead, we know where I'm fucking going.
I've just Googled it, and one of the first symptoms is you agree to go on a terrible podcast. So
let's embark halfway through.
Second symptom, do tell that story about pissing yourself in Ibiza. How's the DJing going, Frankie? Because it's one of the... Shane wanked you off earlier saying that you're the coolest chick he knows. You're doing DJing, and we touched base when... I think I was on a stag do last year, and you were in Prague doing a massive set with your sister. So
yeah,
tell us what your DJ, Duo Collective is called, and tell us about what's happening.
Yeah, well, basically... So I've got this thing that I do with my twin sister. It's called Kintra. And it's a DJ violin duo. And we kind of started it properly last year. We dabbled a bit before, but last year was when we kind of took it seriously, started putting mixes out there, kind of developed our sound. And we got really lucky. We managed to get some cool gigs last year. We were in Spain, in Granada, in the Sierra Nevada in April last year. Then we managed to get to Beats for Love in Ostrava in Czech Republic, and that was insane. Like, oh, the biggest like set I've ever played. Like, it was such a like massive stage, and it was busy. We're just before Nora and Pure, so that was brilliant. And then, yeah, we've done like a few random gigs as well, other festivals in the summer and stuff last year. But this year's kind of the year for us, like, kind of like producing music. So we're actually kind of lucky that we didn't have loads of festivals lined up, obviously due to the current situation and everything being fucking cancelled. But so we're like, obviously it's such a shit situation, but we're kind of lucky in the sense that we were focusing on producing music this summer anyway. So that's kind of where we're at the minute, just like playing violin, doing a bit of singing, kind of making, you know, tunes. And then the Polka Dot Disco Club is a collective I started, me and her started literally about 2 months ago. We just decided that it'd probably be a good idea to start some sort of kind of collective in Dundee, specifically Dundee, because there was no female collective or club night going in the city. Like, there's, you've got it in Edinburgh, you've got it in Glasgow, you've even got it up in Aberdeen and fucking St Andrews, but there was nothing in Dundee. And JUSA, the union, were so good to us. They were like, yep, we can give you the space for like free. You can just, you know, have it for 4 hours or whatever every Saturday for a few weeks, and you can just teach the girls. And honestly, they were brilliant. And we put on like a wee application now for girls, and so many people applied, which was great. And yeah, we ended up, it was so hard picking like four, so we ended up having to pick six, which was not how many we wanted, but I'm so glad we did it. And yeah, we taught them to DJ, and they played their first gig literally just before I left for Costa Rica. And it's a shame, because we did have quite a lot of gigs for them like lined up, like Dundee Dance Event and stuff. But hopefully all that's just postponed even. And it should be. So we'll still be able to get that for them. But it's just been really great, you know, giving back something. And it's good kind of having a wee network as well, because sometimes being a female DJ, you can feel a bit left out sometimes. It can feel a bit of a boys' club. As great as my opportunities have been, and as nice as all my boy DJ pals are, it's good to have a wee bit of girl time sometimes as well.
Because it does seem to be like a very male dominated one, but is it in the last, like, I've listened to a lot of dance music, but I'm only just now trying to learn people's names, and I've discovered like the likes of Kelly Lee Owens and Black Madonna recently, and you're going, that's still not that many really, is it, in terms of female ones who are becoming well known. So it's nice to hear that there's a lot more that are willing to get into it. And I've heard of Kendra, it's fucking good, and it's something a little bit different with the violin being played alongside it as well.
What genre is it then, just to nail it down, or is it a multitude?
What, Kintra? I would say it's more melodic house, so think like kind of Solomon, you know, Pagey type style. It's because it kind of works well with the violin, so when you've got like that kind of sweeping melodies and stuff, she can like play a lot, like a long take. She makes up the music herself, so I'll do a DJ mix of like, you know, other people's tracks, and then she'll listen to it and she'll be like, right, I'm going to create this brand new violin version of this or piece to this, and then she'll add it along and play it along live, which is, you know, she's the real talent.
That's Josette, your twin sister?
Josette, yeah, my twin. So yeah, I'd say melodic house kind of. We've done a few disco mixes as well, but melodic house is probably the main one that we kind of stick to. But yeah, it's great fun, I love it.
And what you were talking there, the Dundee, you're trying to grassroots movement inspire young women to get into this, because it's maybe not readily accessible for them in their head that they can become DJs. So you're just trying to show them that this exists, and women can, you know, succeed in this field.
Yeah, I think what the issue was like, you know, this isn't like a new concept, like holding workshops for females, definitely not, because like Miss World is a DJ collective in Edinburgh, they've done it, you know, there's been ones in Glasgow that have done it, but it's just that we saw that Dundee didn't have anything and had never had these kind of workshops before. And I remember like I'd been asked by JUSA, by Dundee Union, to play a gig last year, like last December, and they were like, yeah, bring along whoever you want to play as well, like whatever DJs you want, and I specifically wanted females, but the only female DJ that I knew in Dundee couldn't even play. So I was like, so what am I going to do? Like, it's pretty bad that out of a city full of DJs, there was like, you know, a handful of females that, and yeah, so I was just like, nah, I think it's just, it's something that the girls I've spoken to who are in my collective now, they've said, like, you know, before we offered these workshops, they did kind of think about getting into DJing, but it was just that, how do you start? Where do you start? And the issue with, like, you know, everybody could, like, buy a set of decks and DJ, but it's kind of getting gigs. It's really difficult if you don't know the right people. And a lot of the time, you know, especially in these kind of more, like, underground grassroots kind of local gigs, it'll be pals booking pals, which is fair enough. But a lot of them are, like, guys, so it's hard. Like, how do you become pals with these big, this big group of guys and you're just one female? It can be quite daunting. So we just wanted to set something up just so we could teach them for free. That was really important for us as well. So anybody could kind of have the opportunity. So we did it for free and we just wanted to be able to give them a wee kind of boost up to give them the confidence and manage to get them gigs. Because I do know quite a few folk in the scene now. So kind of using that to my advantage and their advantage too. Yeah, it's been good. It's only been one gig, of course. But, you know, it's quite cute today. Even one of the girls posted in the group and she's like, yeah, I've just bought my first proper set of decks and they're amazing. They're better than what I've got.
You'll be going up there just to, I'm just going to teach you some more to play around with them.
I know, actually, well, once the quarantine's over, of course, the lockdown. But it's just really, it sounds really cheesy, but it's just very wholesome. And I felt, you know, I was lacking something for a while. I needed something like this, I think, to kind of motivate me a bit. Because it is dead easy as a DJ to get in, like, fall into a slump. You know, it's very easy. So if you've got kind of all these projects going on, it's kind of motivation. And, you know, I don't feel responsible for them because they're their own people, their own very talented DJs. But it's just, you know, I feel like I'm kind of driving these girls as well. And it's great.
You never know what will end up. One of the main things for me when I was doing creative work in a hip hop sense when I was younger is having peers on my level. Because when you got people above you and you aspire to be them and there's no one, if you're looking right and left, on your level, then it's not going to motivate you to do better. It's not going to make you feel confident. If you've got a few people around you that are starting out and you've got a collective of folk, then you work together and you bounce off each other and you learn from each other. And that's very important. And what you were saying there about, you know, Dundee, you were looking around who could support us. There's probably about three or four of them in a year's time now that will be learning, growing and doing stuff with each other to the point where you're like, oh fuck, I'm going to have to knock some of them back because I can't give them all a gig. And I think that sense of community is so fucking important in any aspect of industry. We felt it in the podcast sense as well. There's a few people that have kicked around from, you know, kind of when we started and we can see them grow and we're learning and buzzing off their energy. It's fucking brilliant.
Right, but remember, we're using ours to start a cult.
Oh, of course, of course. A hostel cult.
A hostel cult, yep.
But aye.
We're going to take over ecologies in the Costa Rica any day now.
I'd fucking love that,
man. Train the monkeys to do our bidding.
Danny, I'm looking at the... And I said this at the start. Frankie, you can just join our episode now. We've kind of just grilled her. But there's something called shagging mallards on the topic list.
I went for a walk the other day. So it was like the first day after isolation or this kind of quote-unquote lockdown that isn't really a lockdown because cunts are ignoring it kind of thing. But I went for a walk around Queen's Park on my own, well away from everyone. And for about 3 or 4 minutes, I just sat and watched two ducks shagging each other. And it didn't make me sad, but there was like that. I was just watching it kind of going, this is the most entertaining thing I'm going to see in person for about 2 months. And I just somberly stood and watched two mallards fucking for a wee while. And
is that why you didn't like Pornhub Premium? Because they didn't have any like mallard
no duck porn whatsoever. But it was just, I usually, like, if you watch ducks having sex, you probably don't even think about it. You just go, like, there's ducks having sex. But if you're stopped, as if I was like, oh, man, life is tough just now, isn't it? And plus, I was annoyed at the ducks because they weren't keeping 2 meters away from each other either. So they're fucking spreading their little duck coronavirus about because they can't socially distance.
How do ducks shag, mate?
One chased the other one. They just shag. I don't know. Like, there's no science to it.
It's
one
quite,
was swimming
quite
around duck. After the other in the pond, and then it just mounted it on the pond and started pumping it.
Do ducks have dicks?
I Of what? I no ducks fucking wank into a cup and then scoop it out and shove it up.
You know what I mean? No, like this is a stoner's observation, and I don't smoke at all. But I turned round to someone about maybe 4 months ago, and I can't remember exactly who. And I went, "Do you know, like, it's weird that all animals have eyes? Like we all, like most of them anyway. Like 90% of animals have eyes, like the exact same eyes." And then my thought process now is that all male animals, to an extent, 90% maybe, do they have a version of a dick?
Or is it like an animal? You know how like a spider's got 8 eyes? Is there a spider or like an animal that's just got 8 dicks? Just like making
maybe, mate. We don't know.
High-fiving them, clapping them together when it runs.
Does a spider have a dick? That's what I'm asking. Like a duck, is a duck inserting a penis into a vagina? Is that how they mate?
What else do you think happens?
I don't know, mate. I'm just asking.
Did you skip fucking biology in high school?
Did you get duck dick biology in high school?
Mate, it's the fucking reproductive system. It's just nature.
For humans.
I'm not saying, James. So what happens is when one duck loves another duck, right? And they've had a few to drink, they'll do a special dance with each other. And yes, I think I'm pretty sure most animals have dicks, but some of them are like, see, like when you hear about like dogs and cats having sex, that's grim because they have like corkscrewy penises and shit like that.
Oh, that's what a male duck has. He has a corkscrew penis.
Well, does he actually?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Did they like the not that? Maybe I haven't been as clear as I should. Did they all have a replicant of kind of what we have? And they clearly don't. But you know.
Well, are you just asking me, do ducks have tits? Is this going to be your next one? Or just...
Do they?
I think he's trying to figure out if ducks have bigger penises than he does. Probably, bro.
Oh, I mean, definitely. They have bigger penises than all of us.
Have you ever seen slugs? Have you ever seen slugs, mate?
Do slugs have dicks?
I don't know if slugs have dicks, but genuinely, like, one
slugs
of the fucking...
are dicks.
One of the most beautiful things you would watch on YouTube is a clip of two slugs mating. It was on one of these Attenborough things. They go up a tree and then they entwine and like fold out like a mushroom, and it's this like luminous blue color. It's genuinely like fucking beautiful. And then they just drop back to the floor and turn into slugs and go on their separate ways. But now that I'm saying this out loud, now how semen's quite salty. Would spunk kill a slug?
Maybe. By the way, I've just Googled, I don't think that sharks have penises.
That's why they're so angry with
spiders.
Show,
spiders,
like
spiders.
Swimming around with no dick, massive fish. They're all teeth, but no dick.
Fish, mate, because one, like, they just kind of throw it out there, kind of thing. So it's like sea bukkake. So the male fish will. I think this is true, I could be wrong, but male fish blow their load and the female fish thingies are eggs, and it's just whatever catches.
Yeah, they put it in their mouth as well. Instead of penises, male spiders use a pair of antennae-like structures near their heads called pedipalps to transfer sperm to females. So spiders don't have dicks. Frankie, you're
all spiders are dickheads.
You're in Costa Rica, and this animal looks like kind of what you've been dealing with, a tuatara. Tuatara?
That's a New Zealand animal, tuatara.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't have dicks either, mate. I need to stop.
What does the female have then? What does the female spider have?
I don't know. It didn't tell me. I'd need to do another deep dive Google. We'll figure that out for next time.
Back onto Google.
Is there big scary spiders where you are, Frankie?
Not really, actually. There's just a lot of flies, which is annoying, and a lot of iguanas. But no, I've not really seen many spiders, which is quite good.
Yeah, that's good. Because like,
if you don't see the spiders, the problem is they're little and poisonous and hiding under shit, like the toilet seat. Like, I don't want to freak you out, but big scary ones aren't as bad as little fucking deadly ones that just want to fucking kill you all sneakily.
Yeah, I've been sitting in the toilet for that reason. I've been kind of hovering, just in case.
Seriously? It's good for you to hover, though. Like, a squat's better than a sit.
No, most girls don't actually sit on the toilet seat, especially in public. We just kind of, hover, squat, but, like, you know, yeah, it's kind of same thing.
Wait, are you actually saying most girls, or are you just saying you?
Nah, a lot of girls do this. Like,
Frankie doesn't even go in the toilet.
Sit down.
Frankie's got these antenna things.
In her head.
She just pisses in hostels.
We've learned so much tonight.
Yeah. Frankie, genuinely though, like, are you, just to take it back to the start of the episode, are you feeling like quite lonely and removed from your family at this point?
See what, I feel all right today. My family's been great, like my mum, my wee sister, my twin. But my mum's been stressing, like she's messaging me like each day, like, are you all right? And I'm like, mum, please don't worry about me, because like you worrying gets me worried, and that's why I changed my flight in the first fucking place, so we can just like chill out and we'll all be fine. But yeah, they've been great, and you know, I don't feel too lonely, to be honest, because there's people here, and I've been in touch with a lot of my friends back home and stuff. It's just I'm just ready to go home, man. I've been like blasting Caledonia on like my phone beside the pool each day, like honestly, crying and stuff into the pool. But it's I am like nervous, but I think because, you know, the days are like, you know, I've got less time now left than I had. So what, I think 3 days until my actual flight. So, you know, I'm kind of feeling fairly confident it's all going to go ahead. And as long as there's no mad kind of announcement made within the next few days, I should be all right and I should be on that plane. And yeah, I'm getting to Gatwick, and then I'll have to work out how the fuck to get to Scotland. But we'll deal with that problem when we get there.
I don't want to alarm you. They closed London City today.
Did they?
Yeah.
That's not Gatwick, so it's fine.
I'm just saying, yeah, it might be a domino effect.
Yeah, I'll have to find out what I do. I mean, I'm meant to have the train on the Monday, because originally I was coming back the Thursday, spending that weekend in London. Obviously, that's not happening. So I think I'm just going to like try and blag it and go on the train on the Sunday and be like, look, I need to quarantine myself for 14 days, so stay away from me. Don't check my fucking ticket. Stay 2 meters away. So that's going to be my method. But
you'll be fine. Transport's absolutely empty just now, so hopefully you'll be fine.
I'm sure that someday... Yeah. Can you drive? Yeah, you can just hire a car.
Nah, literally, I booked my fucking test for the 28th of May. Wasn't going to tell anyone because I was like, right, I'm not going to, like, you know, build up everybody's hopes. But yeah, meant to be the 28th of May, my driving test. And obviously now the test has been delayed for 3 months, so it's going to be at least, like, June, July, August until I actually fucking can drive. So I'm pretty pissed off at that one as well.
Do you know what? All I'm hearing here is you can actually drive, because tests, you know, you're just trying to do it under test conditions. Yep. It's kind of like exams. So what you need to do is just jack a car, because the police are not going to be focusing on that shit. Just steal a car, drive up towards the M6, and then you're fine.
And if the police say anything, just be like, by the way, I've just been fucking bitten by rabies-infected dogs, and also spiders don't have dicks, but they still have sex, man. And eight eyes, how the fuck... Who's turned on by that?
And I genuinely just start start.
I wouldn't arrest you at that point if you'd said all that. I would let you get on with your day.
Listen, no, Frankie, genuinely, hope you get home safe, pal. I'm sure we'll see that. And everybody that's listened, it's been a pleasure having you on, just hearing some of your stories and getting an insight into what it's like being fucking stranded during this mental situation. Because we're all feeling it at home, just being out of the norm. Seeing quiet streets, not being able to get transport or being stuck in houses. So you're definitely, despite how we started this episode, in a much worse place than a lot of people. So I really appreciate you coming on, pal.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for giving me something to do during my fucking day.
That was Drunk Therapy. If you enjoyed this podcast, go listen to some of the other ones. The old you would have. If you're on socials, like us there as well. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @DrunkTherapy. It's something weird on Twitter, which I can't remember right now.